Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yank. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And on the T-Box tonight with me, as always, we have Mr. Thomas Bowen.
Hello.
Hello. And we also have, following on from last week's show, where we said we was going to have guests on from the team, we've got the two MA3 players within the team. One MA3 player, one MA2 player. Sam Ward and Matt Lee.
Yo.
How's it going?
Good evening. Going well, thanks.
I'll leave you to decide who you think the MA2 player might be, but he's not having any of it, so we'll move on from that. So what we normally do, I know you both listen to the show, it's written in the contract that they have to listen.
Damn
but
right.
We normally start with what we've been doing the last week or so. Bowen tends to say, not much really, and I ain't played, which is what he's going to say this week. Am I right? Oh, no.
No.
Controversy.
No.
Go on. Go on then. Tell all.
I went to the park yesterday. You won't know, but Coughton Park, it's got a massive hill. And I took my zone, my gator, and another disc that I can't remember. And I launched them off the top of the hill to make myself feel really good.
Is that you giving up on them discs?
I got absolute miles out of it, but it does. The elevation is about a 30-meter difference. So, like,
where's Coughton Park?
Longbridge Way, Coughton Way, like near Lickies. You know Lickies, don't you?
Yeah, I know Lickies, but I don't know.
Bloody hell, you got an itch or something?
No, cramp.
Okay.
I don't know where Coughton Park is, but. So how far did you get the zone? Like 60 metres or something?
Nah, got to be like 90-odd.
90-odd?
Take off the 30 metres to the hill.
It drops that much that it just kept travelling and travelling and travelling.
I love the fact that you went to a park and you took three discs and they were all basically three-speed discs.
The same.
Why did you take any variants in disc?
They're all overstable, so I could forehand them and backhand them, so... But like forehand was flying.
He's got multiples of every zone derivative through all the different
right,
brands.
The gators are speed 5 or 6, so that's a little bit quicker. But I only throw over stable discs.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of the sheer power, yeah, isn't it?
They're just so much more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
That's better.
You need to control them, don't you?
No, you just need a Raptor and a zone.
I will agree with him that, yeah, you could play any course with a Raptor and a zone.
Yeah, exactly. And you could throw a tilt in there as well.
Oh, for rollers. Tilt rollers.
Yeah, just for rollers. Right. Tilt rollers.
That was my
So Bowen's disc golf this week consisted of going to a hill and throw three discs off it.
That's shut you up anyway, hasn't it? Because you thought I'd do nothing.
Now the next question would be to me, what have I done? And the answer is nothing.
Swap roles this week.
I have to say, you've been a very busy boy. Like, you have done yourself really proud.
I've done a lot of work in the shop. It's been quite hard work. We had a big in of a drop. I think it's our biggest drop that we've done, the biggest order that we've done so far.
You're pulling your hair out, weren't you, at some point?
It's pretty time-consuming, adding the photos and the descriptions and stuff like that onto the site, especially in that bigger bulk. I've been pretty busy doing that.
But you screwed yourself over by ordering too many different moulds. If you just ordered 80 of the same mould, you wouldn't have had to have done it as much, would you?
That would have been really easy then, yeah. But I haven't played disc golf really at all this week. We're playing... When are we playing? I'm probably not going to play. I don't know if I'm going to play this week either. But
we're going down on the 24th.
We're going down to Swindon for the shop on the 24th. Say the 24th.
It's 24th.
Yeah, but we're not playing, are we?
Well, we're not playing in that. Duffy
doesn't trust me to run the shop on my own. That's what he's saying.
Basically,
you're sponsoring the event as well, aren't you? With the prizes for vouchers as well.
Yeah. Matt, have you done this before, mate? Because you've got all the cues going straight away. Look
perfectly
at that.
Timed, mate. Duffy sent me some cues and little timers to talk when to say things at certain times.
Is that what that sign for applause is?
Considering it took me nearly an hour just to download Zoom earlier, I'm not exactly the most technical minded. I wouldn't be able to work cues anyway.
It was Bowen 2.0 at one point.
Literally, yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, big time.
So we've got a few tournaments coming up, so there's going to be a lot of disc golf being played. So I feel like I need to have a bit of a rest and spend a bit of time with the family before those tournaments come up. What about you guys? So we'll start with Wardies. He's the next one down on the list in the screen. Wardy, what have you been up to? Playing disc golf?
Oh, I'm always playing. So no, we had lucky on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday just gone. We had the first AGM for the Stonehenge Disc Golf Club.
Okay.
So, did you have it at the pub? Was it at that pub?
No, it wasn't. We have our meetings at the pub, so we thought we'd be professional for the AGM. So we hired a meeting hall, and then we planned to go straight to the pub after that. So kept with tradition, really. But no, that went well. So we've got the bag tags for that as well.
People don't know. What do you do at the Stonehenge Club? You're on the board.
Yeah, so I run the memberships for that one. We've got Gareth.
They trust you with money?
No, that's the treasurer's job. They trust me with people's personal details for some reason.
Can you see why I don't let him do much with the shop, Wardy?
Yeah, I've worked this one out. No, so yeah, we had that. We had... and then we went out Wednesday and Friday playing with the army team. Just a bit of practice down Stonehenge course as well, down Aintree.
Excellent.
You've got quite a busy scene there, haven't you, Wardo?
Well, I'm trying to keep it up. I feel like I'm running half the show up here.
Oh, bloody hell. Don't call out the rest of Stonehenge members, Wardo, don't you?
Well, it's just Gareth. Gareth's the army player that doesn't do a lot.
Fair enough. Call out Gareth.
as Josh would say. Matt, what have you been up to?
As you're probably aware, the Sheffield scene for disc golf is probably the biggest in the UK. There's a whole here. So, usual.
What about Rich?
Rich has moved, mate. He's moved to Nottingham now. So my local Sheffield buddies, he's abandoned us. So he's got a course near him now. But because I've not got a car either, I've not really been out. But what I've been doing is practicing from the garden with my putting. But I decided it was raining the other day, so if I stunted the conservatory and opened one of the doors, it made it like quite a challenging putt, which was
that's what I did.
I thought it was great until one in ten, you just absolutely smash the door, and then the missus comes downstairs and she's like throwing pots at me. Just stop doing that.
What are you doing?
But no.
But the problem there is you've got to go and collect them in the rain anyway.
Well, this is why I've bought so many spare Ricohs and spare putters that I'll leave them there until it's sunny and then just pick them all up next day.
You've just got 100 of them. You've got 100 of them.
I've got about 35 putters in the garden, all different moulds. They just stay there.
I tell you something else I've done a couple of times, and the missus has moaned at me, is I've gone out to put something in the bin late at night. It's about 11 o'clock, and there's a putter on the wall or something. I've picked it up, and I've nailed it into the middle of the chains, and it's gone
no,
real loud.
No.
The neighbours are bloody the neighbours are killing.
They love
that's a lie. You couldn't hit the basket if you tried.
Through 30 discs at once, and one went in.
Excellent.
I knew I'd get a little. Good one, Tom.
Excellent. So, it's because nobody's done too much. It's going to be a pretty short one.
I think we're all knackered. I think after Mendip,
we are knackered.
The Croydon, Mendip, Litchfield thing was three tournaments in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I think after that, most of us were pretty tired, to be honest. Other than Wardy.
Yeah, we were. I just carry on.
I don't know how you do it, mate. I've never seen anybody pre-walk 30 kilometres prior to a tournament, then go for a run after the tournament, and then drink 97 beers. Just, I blew my mind of that. Never seen anything like it. I like how
the 97 come out of nowhere.
The thing is, none of those figures were exaggerations. No,
Matt, why did you mention them three tournaments specifically? Is there a reason you wanted to bring them up?
Just nothing to know. We ended on a bad note, but we didn't win Croydon. But no, I think it was a bit heavy doing two lots of weekends that far away, because it was a lot of travelling to get there, and then a lot of up and down elevation hills, which I don't think many of us play that much elevation or do that much walking for rounds.
Surely come out with a profit, though, from those weekends, haven't you? You've been winning everything.
It's all right, but I think I got to the point where I didn't really need that many vouchers for new discs.
he needs to buy new putters to go outside.
Yeah, that's it, mate. I literally just stocked up on random things I didn't even need. I bought you a zone, you know.
Right. You just want to get rid of them now. You just give it away.
It burns a hole in your pocket. You're there I want to spend these. And then you look and you're like, I don't really need anything, so I'll just buy loads of stuff.
Yeah,
you didn't fancy saving up for a kart or anything?
I did, but then I know in my luck I'd never win another tournament again, and I'd just be sat with them vouchers that I just could have spent.
You're best off staying in MA3 if you want to win some more tournaments then.
I'm playing by the ratings, mate. The ratings are there for a reason. If I ever get to 900 rated, I will instantaneously move up.
I think you're at 899.9
pretty much, you know.
As of tomorrow,
at it as far as it'll go, but no, as soon as I get 9, I'll be straight out. I think it might even happen next raid.
Is it true, Matt, that you contacted the PDGA and asked them if it doesn't show decimal points on the website, but do you have decimal points in, if you can rounding give me up. Some, make it 8.999997, I could still play my
through on five. I think I really should be 901 rated, but I sent someone £20 and asked them to bump me down to just to beat you on next round.
Yeah, well, I'd wish you'd piss off your mates also.
Sooner. It's coming soon, mate. It's coming soon.
Wardy, how did it feel being like me, not really fitting in and not winning any vouchers?
Well...
Wait a minute.
Sorry, mate. That was a low blow,
vouchers. He won vouchers at Mendip, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He cashed in at Mendip.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I was trying to throw shade and it backfired, as per usual.
He was leading the card.
I was at one point. It's only because everyone else was hungover.
No, you smashed the first day or so.
It's ironic you saying that, Ward. Sorry.
The man who drank the most beer was in first place after the first day, which made the least sense.
Oh, funny.
Oh.
Okie doke. So let's move on to the news section. Before we do that, we'll have a quick word from our sponsor.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters, keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Excellent. So, over to...
Bowen's Fake News.
Right, so, the first news of the week, is, and I can't believe it's gone this far without us mentioning it. We had a winner, didn't we, this weekend at the Masters at Quarry Park?
Yep.
And that was, well done, Dennis, team member, 100% record we got still, haven't we? And he won in the amateur 40s. Now, I know I've jumped about and gone in a bit early with the... I normally go in, from professional down, but I was struggling to find... the screenshots that I took at the tournament. So I'm just trying
of course,
to stall.
Of course
so,
you are.
So I was hoping Duffy was going to jump in and say something about Dennis.
Yeah, well,
but unfortunately,
I'll give congrats to Dennis for his rounds, considering he didn't do too well at Croydon, and he was that was a bit of a come down for him. He definitely didn't play to his potential. But and
well, I think he did up until the last half of the last round.
I don't think I've seen Dennis definitely play better than he did at Croydon. And looking at the scores at Quarry Park, it's not like he played well above his rating, I think.
Yes, oh, yes he did. And especially as he beat Adam Keane in the Adam Keane division.
Adam Keane.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd seen Adam Keane for probably, I think, the third or fourth time when we were at Mendip, and I was like, who is this wizard? Like, some of the shots he threw. I was like, this guy is unbelievable.
There's kids that play disc golf that want to grow up and be Adam Keane.
Yeah.
Has he got an ultimate background? Why is he so good?
He's just Mr. Smooth. He just seemed to throw all the right shots. So whenever you're watching him, you never see him throw a bad shot. It's elusive.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
He's quite a cool bloke as well. I quite like him.
Nice. Yeah, I like Adam. He's a good lad.
But Dennis, excellent, really, really good performance. I always feel this way that there's almost a little bit more pressure on you going into Quarry Park for us because that's the course that we play the most.
Yeah.
It's a course that we know the most. So we should be beating people who don't play Quarry Park as much. But as you can see from other people, that's not always how it plays out. No. So for Dennis to go in and beat, it was a big field as well. It was it's got to be about 25, 30 odd people. It's a really good win. I'm sure he's pretty proud of himself anyway. So congratulations.
He got a trophy.
He got a trophy, which Matt's still waiting on, aren't you?
No, I'm never gonna get one, mate.
Do you think it made a difference? Sorry for butting in, Matt. Do you think it made a difference with Dennis Duffy? This is aimed at you. That you weren't there. Do you think that helped him?
I don't know, because when we played Croydon, we were on the same card on the last day. He had one shot on me going into the last round. And I said to him beforehand, because we've had other rounds, like at Blue Bowls last year, and we wasn't slagging each other off, like in each other's faces or anything like that, but it was just like really tense atmosphere. It was like I'd make a putt and I'd be like, yes, get in, like quite vocal, and he'd be the same. And it was clear that we was like both wanting to beat each other, and it was quite like tense. And I said to Dennis, look, Dennis, I can't be asked to do that. I said, let's just play as well as we can and see what happens. And like it was going it all the way through, I would say like two-thirds of the course. And it was like both cheering each other on, like there's no like pressure on being put on them by anybody or anything like that. And then I had I played safe on the hole which had the OB down either side.
Five.
And I had a look at because we started on something like 11 or 12 or something, so we was quite a way through the course at that point. But I laid up just before the tree, which I had a sort of a little bit of a putt at a birdie, but it was an easy par, and Dennis took a five on it, and those two shots that he was carrying put me then into the lead. The shot that he had on me with the double bogey put me into the lead, and like he started looking at the score then. So as soon as he started looking at the score and I was just playing steady and just carry on as I was, that's what screwed him over basically. So I don't think it's necessarily me being there, but it's him looking at my score and trying to beat me. So I feel like he beats himself in that respect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's necessarily me beating him. I think it's him desperate to beat me or wanting to beat me and then looking at the score and trying to if I take a birdie on this one and then perhaps not doing the shot that he wants because he's putting too much pressure on himself, and it sort of beats himself a little bit, but this weekend it goes to show that some like really really good scoring. So
he would have come third in the pro 40s if he'd have played in pro 40s.
Yeah,
that just show He had like 900 and something rated rounds.
All
like
three.
926.
All three were above 925. Yeah. Yeah. Really good round.
So he absolutely smashed it. So moving on to Pro 40s, we had Ian McDougall win with 7 over.
Yeah.
Ivan Bromage, he's a Brommy, isn't he? Ivan is.
Yeah.
He came second with 16 over, and Phil Blunt came third with 19 over. So congratulations to them. I think
Phil Blount, innit?
Yeah, what did I say? Blunt. Oh, yeah.
Blunt.
Blount. Sorry, Phil Blount. Sorry. You know crap with names. Anything that's not Smith and John, I'm going to get wrong. Right. In the Pro 50s, we had, he was out there on his own. He was the only player to shoot under. Have a guess who shot under in the Pro 50s. Come on. One of you. Wardy, who do you think? Who do you think shot under?
Derek?
Oh, yeah. Derek. Yeah. 11 under for over the three rounds. And the nearest to him was Craig Pettit in second. Over all the players, the nearest to him was Craig Pettit in Pro Masters 50 with 5 over. So he was 16 shots clear, minimum of anyone for the whole tournament.
Jeez.
But, okay, so this... Derek can throw a decent length.
Yeah.
he's not caught sort of short for distance massively, but he's self-admittedly by nowhere near a long thrower.
Yeah.
So it just shows how much I don't know what I'm trying to say. How important that is.
Do you feel that's a lot to do with the course, though? Not to take anything away from, obviously, Dell. I know he's absolutely smashed it, but like...
I feel like the course allows for different shots. I feel like that's what is quite good about Quarry Park, is the fact that it's sculpted so that it requires quite a lot of different shot types. And I think Dell's done it like that on purpose, but... I think what does help is the fact that he plays it all the time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, like, I've played with Ian, and Ian's phenomenally fun to play with, but he's also, like, a great guy, great at disc golf. And, like, the difference in score there, you know, you just think, if Ian played that course as much as Dell, you know, maybe they'd be, like, stroke for stroke kind of thing.
But then Dell's been over to Europe and won his age bracket over at Europe already this year. Like, he is like a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's. I don't want to take anything away from him. He's phenomenal at disc golf.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it is definitely, you've got a massive advantage. The fact that he plays, I mean, we've been there. We used to play quite a lot midweek.
Yeah.
And there would be like a group of about four or five of them that would play pretty much most nights.
Tweed would be with him, wouldn't he?
7 to 9 o'clock. And they play like a couple of rounds or whatever.
You've got a good bunch of people down there, though, haven't you? You've got a lot of people that are always playing. You're a bit like Manchester. The community there at Quarry Park in Manchester, there's always somebody you can turn up and go, yo, do you mind if I join in or can I have a round?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I feel like he just by playing a course that often, you're going to be good. You add Dell's years of experience of throwing discs and the sort of the skill set behind that. Like it's going to be almost unbeatable. You'd think.
Do you find that though when you play with people at courses? So for example, again, use like Croydon, like people at Croydon who play that locally. When we go down and play like practice rounds and things with them, I always feel like I'm usually on a similar level to this person, but then they'll throw 8 or 9 shots better than me because they know the course a lot better and, you know, they're kind of used to what they're throwing.
I felt
like that when we went to Croydon and Josh beat me. Like, so I think I'd go toe-to-toe with him normally.
Yeah, I mean...
Because it was his home course. We just had a few shots on me.
That's it. Those say, like, 82 shots... What's the difference? Wasn't on the day.
Exactly.
Do you think it makes a difference though in the tournament? So if you play home field advantage, do you think that like it adds pressure? Like you have to.
This is what we were talking about.
I'd be the other way if I was playing at my local course. I think I feel like I'd know that course and you know what to throw.
adds pressure for me.
I know.
It's like interesting.
I feel like I should be doing. I feel like I should be doing better because it's my home course, and like I'll put more pressure on myself.
Yeah. So but Matt's got the skills to back it up. You haven't, Duffy. That's what we've established.
No, I don't. I don't know.
All right.
I feel me and Duffy play very, very similar. We feel a lot of, like, similar shots, but I think on tournament days, I probably handle the pressure a tiny bit better.
Yeah, yeah. I think you just throw a lot further than me, and I feel like the only kind of course I would ever beat you on is a tight lined course.
Have you ever played Amesbury?
Nah, I'm rubbish at short courses.
Part 2 City, I'm mate. Rubbish. I love that place.
I'm rubbish at like short. I'm thinking like I don't know. Like I feel like I can beat you at Quarry Park most times.
Yeah.
What about Gillies?
To be honest, I would say any one of us in the Interchains team could win at Gillies on any given day. Because I think if you just take one or two wrong shots on the entire course, you know. You kind of buggered. You've got 4 to 5 over par easily.
Well, me and Stan Valentine went up against some of the best players in the UK in a doubles match.
Yeah,
and we held our own, didn't we, Duff?
Yeah, he lost in the playoff, but
yeah, when we played at Gillies with you for the first time, Bowen, and I would say on at least 5 of the holes you threw a thumber tilt roller.
Yeah.
Which, when stepping up to the tee, I was like, you're looking around just to see if people are watching, Lincoln, you know, I'm not with this guy. But I've never seen any shots work out as well in my life. It just rolled perfectly straight, and they just landed near the basket. Yeah. I didn't get it. Couldn't understand it.
I'm a magician. I'm an enigma.
You are an enigma. No, enigma's right. okay, what other scores we got?
So at Masters, we had Dennis Jones in first. I'm not going to say it again in case his head swells. Well done, though, Dennis. Adam Keane in second and Wayne Davey in third. And then in Am Masters 50s, we had... he keeps cropping up. He must be a good player. And I can't say his name. Stephen...
Guilleri.
Is that how you say it?
I don't. I've never pronounced his name, but I've seen him in Nottingham. He's such a nice guy, but I couldn't pronounce it myself.
Matt, thank you for saving me because Duffy tries to bury me every week.
It's
and there's me going, good, 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 good.
I try to be honest.
So, yeah, Stephen, Matt, can you say last name?
Just call him Stevie G. He's happy with Stevie G.
Stevie G. Stevie G came in first. Shane Barron, good old Shane, super groupie, came in second.
We love Shane.
And Rob Groovy Hamilton, that's his name on the PDGA site, came in third. So
he definitely paid extra for the groovy bit, didn't he?
Maybe he's changed his name by Depop.
By Depop.
Do you reckon he froze a groove?
Is that a disc?
Yeah.
Who's it made by?
Don't you dare, mate. Innova.
Someone shit like Obsidian or something like that, isn't it?
It's an Innova groove.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. There was I remember watching the Olympics and the BMX was on, and there was this Australian rider. He changed his name to Kamikaze. Literally, his name was... And it came up, like, you know the Olympics is all like serious and that, and his name on the thing just said Kamikaze, one word, and I just like, I'm going off topic a bit and it's not that funny, but I was probably about 16, I thought it was fucking hilarious.
I hope you weren't from Japan.
It was from Australia.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, but there we go. So that's the Masters wrapped up. Lots of familiar faces. Well done to everyone who went. Like, lots of fans of the show, I think. So, congratulations, everyone. There were some big names there. Well done, everyone.
Excellent.
Right. So, we are moving on to the Open. Where was it? It was at... where was the Open?
Tallahassee
Open.
That's the one.
Which is where... Tallahassee is a capital city of what state?
Mississippi.
No.
Missouri.
No.
Does it start with...
Alabama.
Florida.
Alabama.
No.
Tallahassee. I'm somewhere. I'm in the right area. Louisiana.
No. Florida. Capital of Florida.
Is it really? No.
Yeah.
I thought Tampa was.
No. Tallahassee.
If you watch The Office, Joe Bennett is from Tallahassee, Florida.
Which one's Joe? The one who falls.
The CEO of the Sabre company.
Oh yeah, she is, isn't she? She's from Tallahassee, and she's got the Great Danes, isn't she?
Yeah, that's the
one. She doesn't listen, obviously, but she's very much like my boss. Very very similar looks and traits.
Does she have the same accent?
No, she doesn't have the same accent.
Do you ever throw out mad sayings to her?
She's just very bolshy.
Bolshy, I love that word. That's such a great word. Do you ever say you got meatballed?
No.
Oh, no. That's a shame.
Okie doke.
We had the Open at Tallahassee. Now, it wasn't the biggest tournament. It was a silver. I say it wasn't the biggest tournament. Some of the big names weren't there. It was a Silver Series event, so it's just a step down from the official Disc Golf Pro Tour events. Sorry. And we had a European win, so that was great, wasn't it? It was Albert Tam.
Yeah, that was really good.
He scored 20 under for the tournament, and he won by 2 shots, so congratulations, Albert.
Albert the Bazooka Tam. What a great guy to win the first European.
You know, should he change his name to just Bazooka?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like the Europeans are starting to really sort of find their feet now. You're starting to see a couple of good, finishes, a few good performances coming in now, and I feel like we're going to start to see a little bit of a takeover maybe.
Was it like this before COVID? That's what I was about to say. Was it like this before COVID? Because the Americans had it all to themselves.
I don't think it was as popular. I think since COVID, the boom's happened. It's not saying there's not as many good Europeans, but I don't think, you know, as many people went across to America to enter tournaments prior to COVID.
Well, there's more money involved now, isn't there? Yeah. So there's more incentive, and it almost pays for itself. If you go over and do well, it's actually like a job. You're not just making the money for the trip. You're actually getting paid for it, effectively. Whereas before, I imagine the money probably wasn't there. So it's like you're almost having to pay your own way and hope that you get you get paid in some tournaments just to sort of cover some of your debts, basically. But I feel like they're starting to find the feet now, and I'm pretty interested to see what happens at the next major. And I feel like there could be some shocks on the way anyway.
Right, so yeah, in second place
Oh, it's like that. Interesting though with the Europeans. Do you not think that sometimes they're not too bothered? Only because they play it in schools as kids and stuff like that, don't they? So it's kind of more natural for them to just play disc golf for fun. Whereas now the American scene's obviously getting more involved. Do you not think they want a piece of the action?
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to be natural that when money starts to come in and people can realistically do disc golf for a living, that they're going to want to sort of get involved in that, and that's what makes sort of the Euro Pro Tour really interesting to see, because they're sort of modelling that a little bit on what the Disc Golf Pro Tour are doing, and I'm really interested to see how that's going to play out this year.
If it's like golf, the European Tour is better than the US Tour now, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you feel a bit sorry for Paige and Kat, because they were probably used to winning 15 grand every week at every event, and now they're like, holy crap, what's happening with these Europeans coming over here and stealing all that goddamn money?
They need to
They're still up there, but there's other people who are as good as them now, aren't there?
Yeah,
but as a pro athlete, you've got to sort of, what do you want to be smashing everyone every week, yeah, or do you want, yes, a bit of competition?
No, you want to beat everyone every week. Yeah, I mean, ideally, that's the dream, isn't it? You don't, yeah, go to a boxing match thinking I'd like to win so 8 good. Out of 10. You don't want to get knocked out.
No, I disagree, because it demotivates you, doesn't it? It if you've got people pushing you, you've got to get better and better. You're still going to believe that you can beat them every week and you're the best in the world. You've got to think that as a professional sports person. But if you're just smashing everyone, you take your foot off the gas, don't you? So maybe the pro athletes don't feel like that. But as a spectator, it makes it a lot better, doesn't it? You get better quality.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, up your game when you're playing with better players. That's why if you're an MA3 player, you should naturally play MA2 just to make yourself better. Isn't that right, Matt?
Oh, it's just sour, this, isn't it? Knew it should have come on.
No comment, Matt, no comment.
Whatever you do say may be given in evidence against you.
In MA2.
I feel like that's what happened to Paige a little bit. I feel like she was comfortably winning pretty much most tournaments, and I feel like she took her foot off the gas a little bit. And Kat's always been there or thereabouts, but outside of her, you feel like her or Kat was going to win, like Paige or Kat was going to win the most tournaments. Yeah. Well, I feel like now that there's probably five or six now that could potentially win the women's division.
Yeah. My girl, Kristen.
Oh, 100%.
Kristen, Evelina, those three are like absolutely smashing it, and they're finishing, you know, consistently in the top 10, if not the top 5.
Yeah, exactly. And you feel like it just adds more pressure. And I mean, like I said, but I've said this before, for the spectator, it's brilliant, because the closer it is, the better the tournament is, in my opinion. If you've got, like, you see the last, like, MPO tournament, you had about 10 players who were in about 2-3 shots of each other. It was class, because you just think, literally, anybody could win. And it's so good when it's a tight tournament. There's nothing worse than just a runaway winner for a spectator's point of view.
That's why the best shot in the world was the best shot in the world, because it was that close, wasn't it? I mean, if he was 10 shots behind, everyone would have gone, oh, it was a good throw-in. Nobody have cared. But because it is that close, he just makes everything so much better.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that helped, because you can't dislike James Conrad.
I didn't used to like
but
him.
But you can dislike Paul Macbeth, can't you?
I think if anyone was a bit like me and they thought James was maybe a little bit boring to watch or didn't seem that great, and then that happened, I don't think anybody can not like him after that. That was one of the best things I've ever seen.
And I think when tournaments do get that close, I think that's when you have to pull off shots like that. And that's the closer it is, we'll see that.
He had to be dreaming instead. They're all going to say, yeah, I backed myself to make that shot 10 times out of 10. But what was the actual probability on that shot?
One in 500. I don't think he'd get one in that many shots again. Not from that distance and under that much pressure. I just don't think it's possible to do in less than 400 or 500 shots.
Yeah. But then by the same argument, look at any ace that any of us have ever got. Look at Duffy's ace from Essex. Like, tell him to pull off the same shot again. Like, that's why it's a great shot. You've got to go for it. Why wouldn't you?
Did you mean that ace, Duffy?
Well, I threw it at the basket, didn't I?
I think, like Wardy said, you got the right idea, but I don't think you were expecting it. Yeah, I don't think you ever are you? I don't think you ever expected it just to go in like that.
You give me the same disc again and 1,000 shots at it, I'm not going to be getting it in, I wouldn't have thought. No. So that's what makes it special. But anyway, the results?
Matty O came in second at 18 under, 2 shots behind Albert. And Alex Russell came in third, 1 shot behind Matteo, so 3 shots behind Albert. Nice to see some names that we've had on the cast pod before. Thomas Gilbert came in joint 6th. And then further down we had Luke Sampson in 15th, so well done to them. So some good results. Sorry, what did... Oh, did someone say nice? Oh, that's my fault.
I just said nice, yeah.
Yeah, cut that bit out, Duff, which you won't do, but there we go. In the FPO, we had Stacey Haas won with 11 under, and she was miles ahead of second place. Yeah, smashed it. And it was Valerie Manduano.
Matt, please don't. I've had to listen to him get her name wrong about a gazillion times.
I don't know if you know,
keeps so doing
if you know
his well.
Stuff, but this is the only reason you've got viewers. I only tune in to hear Bowen's fake news and him to try and pronounce these names. It makes my day.
So yeah, well done, Valerie. She came joint second with Jessica Vice White.
Vice.
Is that how we say it?
Yeah.
Well,
Vice. Yeah.
Vice.
Vice.
So it's almost an episode of Rocky Horror. This.
Yeah, I'd never watched it, to be fair. But Valerie, she's been up there every tournament, hasn't she?
She's a little powerhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had, to be fair, that there was a load of European women there as well. So we're taking over, aren't we, basically?
We.
Well.
By we, you mean people who live within 1,000 miles of us.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah. And I couldn't, like, yeah, there we go. So, cheers. Yeah.
Here's one for you. Talking about distance, random fact, I was watching a YouTube video the other day. Did you know there's only one country between North Korea and Finland?
Russia.
What, yeah. Russia?
Russia. So it's only one country between.
It's like a third of the world.
It's a pretty even landmass, isn't it?
Well, I can tell you something interesting about maps. You know, if you see a world map flat, Africa looks roughly the same size as
Greenland.
North America. Is Greenland and North America,
a lot
isn't
smaller,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the way a globe is, you can't put it on a map so the scale goes out.
Oh,
so Africa is fucking massive, and I mean it's huge.
Does it just not come out in proportion because it's not designed to be in a globe format? Is it just designed to be a flat?
No,
map?
It's... Is this part of this
conspiracy?
Yeah, he's going into conspiracy theory.
Is this Matt saying the flat Earth? He's onto a point here. Like, that is a good point. It's that ice ring that encapsulates us, isn't it?
What you said is definitely more factually accurate to give me proof that there is a flat Earth than people believing there's a wall of ice going round in a square. Don't get that.
Well, Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the edge?
No, but I've got this pigeon that I use as it says drone, and it flies over this recorded footage.
If you ever feel like the flat Earth theory is a bit boring, a bit tame, have a look at the Hollow Earth.
Oh yeah, the Hollow Earth. I've spoke about that before. I spoke about that in one of the early ones. Like,
yeah, I like the Hollow Earth one. I feel like that's pretty realistic.
What, like,
did you hear about that poor bloke who? Now this is a conspiracy here. He built a rocket to fly up. Built his own rocket
to see if it was flat or not.
And someone shot down that rocket when he was in a test launch.
Wasn't it a helium? No, it was a helium balloon, wasn't it?
No, it was a rocket. It was a rocket. He apparently malfunctioned. The rocket did. But I think, like, the feds shot it down just so the truth didn't get out.
The truth is out there.
Look into it.
Interesting. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're
going to talk. It's not been a big news week, mainly because I haven't paid attention to anything. I'm just going to be open and frank there before anyone else calls me out. We're going to talk about we like to do a little showpiece for a tournament, don't we? And like say, go and sign up. Like this tournament's coming up.
Yeah.
I'm going to speak about the amateur tournament at Quarry Park, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is on May the 8th.
Yep, you have got something right.
I did. I don't know how I managed that. I was thinking about that earlier, and I don't know how I managed to get the right date. But I know at least two of us are playing in that, so it'll be a good tournament. It's always good at Quarry Park. Fortunately, Dell can't enter it because he's a pro, so he can't win it this time. So it gives someone else a chance, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I do like, it's a single day tournament, and there doesn't seem to be too many of those around at the minute.
Cliche, you say that every week.
I don't know, but it should be a good crack.
Yeah, Matt, are you playing in it or unsure at the moment?
It's going to be a highly unlikely for me. I've got a stag do the night before, and I'm the best man. So unless things go terribly wrong for everybody else and I'm not drunk, then I can drive down. I'd say no, I won't be going.
You got your priorities right, mate. I had to give
Duffy a chance against some silverware.
Oh, how do you feel about that, mate?
I feel like he's absolutely banged on. He doesn't need to give
relieved.
Me a
he feels relieved.
I was just hoping Matt was going to show him his silverware.
Oh, mate. Oh, don't rub it in. The only thing I wanted was a trophy. I'm never going to get one.
We were talking beforehand. Wardy, you're thinking about it. You just got to see whether you can get the pass to come.
Yeah, especially with Wales and Scotland either side of it.
Yeah. It's not easy, is it?
But in the sort of interlude we had, me and Wardy were saying that he just blames us anyway, so he gets away with it scot-free. He tells his missus that he's contractually obliged to play every single tournament.
The problem is, Bowen, you've just undone all of this because she's going to listen.
She's
obligated. She's married to me. She has to listen to the podcast.
We'll just cut this bit out. We'll tell you which bit not to, you lose internet or something when you're in the van or something. Obviously. Like, we'll tell you which bit just to turn off and then we'll be all right.
Yeah.
We'll let you do a shout out as well, so when she gets a name on the pod she'll all will be all right.
Oh, okay.
All will be forgiven. Like Bowen said, one day tournament, 8th of May. And it's the Amateur Open at Quarry Park, and I think it's on Disc Golf Scene, I think the sign it was on. But if you go on to the British Disc Golf Facebook group or Quarry Park Facebook group, it'll be the sign in information will be on there.
I've checked it, mate. It may be full for a wee now, like it's always possibly a popular one.
I definitely expecting big things from you two, though. Definitely
not me. Don't look at me.
Got to. Big things for
gotta pull it out of the bag. Keep the streak alive.
Yeah. Expect it from. Oh yeah, I suppose we're, that's a good point.
We'll be part of the team if we win, and not part of the team
if we don't win.
Okie doke. So, should we move on to the next section?
I just wanted to say it's like the Undertaker's record at WrestleMania, isn't it? Have we got any wrestling fans here?
I do love a bit of wrestling. Do love a bit of like WWE.
The Undertaker had like a 20 win streak at WrestleMania, and then
he lost.
What are you?
He lost. Did you see his odds when he lost? I'm a gambling man as well, and he was 5,000 to 1 to win, and he lost. That was the best odds ever in wrestling.
My best mate came around yesterday to watch football, and he was saying that he's got a surefire bet for next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Eurovision Song Contest, Ukraine to win. And they were like, it's like evens, or it's like 11 to 10 or evens.
I think that's the worst idea.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to have a look now.
Well, whoever wins has to host it next year. I don't think they've rebuilt by then.
Well, maybe, because then we'd all they'll have to get people to pay in to get the place rebuilt just for the Eurovision, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but how many people's going to vote for them, though?
I vote every
year. Do people really vote based upon actual good singing, or is it just all politics anyway?
It's just shake hands of your neighbours and vote for them. No one likes Britain, so we never get any points. I don't know why people are surprised.
People in Britain don't like Britain. You say that. Not many worse places I'd rather live.
You say that, but Britain's only ever got Neil Poir twice.
Yeah, but we get the odd token vote from Belgium or Ireland. Something, but we never. Yeah, exactly. Like, Matt, you've got a very good point.
They're going
because,
off the show as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I suppose you've got a good point, Matt, because you hate us Southerners, we hate you Northerners. Well, I'm a Midlander, so everyone hates me, basically.
True. See, I feel that in the Midlands, we get to choose whether we're North or South. I think I've said this before, and I'd definitely choose North.
I don't know, mate. I think anything south of Nottingham is just horrible, and that's how it goes for Northerners.
I think that I disagree, Duffy. I think that we get earmarked for the opposite of where the people are from. So if we're down south, we get called Northerners. If we're up north, we get called Southerners. We can't win.
That's true.
Yeah.
And anything north of the M4 is north.
You're just like I was going to call you a chicken chaser. That's not the right term.
Chicken
you're just
chaser? I don't even know what that means, but it's brilliant. Chicken chaser.
That's what they call it. They call the old, like, is it the Honda Cub? The little moped. They call them chicken chasers, like. And I don't know why, but you like a country bumpkin, ain't you, Wardy?
Apparently so, yeah. Tastes chicken
around.
Yeah,
so there we go.
He does drink a lot of cider. He does love cider as well, doesn't he?
Ah, I'm partial.
I think as long as it's got a percentage, likes it. Right,
moving on. Excellent, good section, Bowen.
Cheers. So, as shambolic as normal.
Relatively similar, not to take up too much time, but relatively similar to what we did last week, where we just have a bit of a chat with Wardy and Matt, like we did with Sammy last week. Ask a few questions, how they started disc golf, how they find in being part of the team, that sort of thing. And obviously ask them what their one single pick of a favourite disc is. So it'll be interesting to hear what that is. So we'll start with, I went with Wardy last time, so I'll start with Matt this time. Matt, how long have you been playing disc golf? How did you get into it?
So I've been playing since June 2020. So
okay, yeah.
It's about 2 years now. Maybe, it sounds about right. So lockdown time, basically watched a couple of videos on YouTube of trick shots and all that jazz, been following Brody Smith doing ultimate throwing frisbees or whatever it was that he did, and then just basically searched on Facebook throwing frisbees, like the different variations of kind of frisbee throwing, and found Sheffield Facebook. They had two members. I became the third member, you know. Thought we were off to a good start at that point, but no, I just messaged the guys and said, you know, what do you do? Can I come round to this park and throw frisbees with you guys? And they were like, yeah, come down. And I think since then, I've never looked back. I play frisbee every weekend. Absolutely love it. Gone bonkers for it. But
both the other people that were in the group already have both moved out the area.
One's had a baby and doesn't play anymore. The other's left Sheffield. So yeah, down to one.
So does that make you the chairman, the treasurer? The...
I'm the chairman, the treasurer, and the owner of No Disc Golf Course. Yeah, it's fantastic. That's why I travel around so much to meet you guys. Because
I was going to say, so what would you call your home course if it's not for the Sheffield pop-up one?
It's going to be Charlie Park, really. It's only like a nine-holer, but it's a pretty good nine-holer.
Yeah, yeah. I played at the Burgoni event.
Yeah, you guys played it with you guys. Well, Bowen's definitely lost a few discs there as well.
I lost one that I bid on in a charity auction, £100 for. I lost it in someone's garden.
The first throw.
And then shit myself and wouldn't go in the garden to look for it and just gave up on it.
It was your first throw. You threw a Thummerberg over a like a nine, probably about a 70-meter hole that went directly to the left.
Were you with us?
Yeah, I think everybody on the field was stopped to watch you throw a thumber because you went, "Hey, watch this!" Stood up and launched it straight into someone's garden,
and he copped it off. That sounds about right.
Yeah, it does. Matt, have you got? Are you doing something with? Are you doing something like a little discover disc golf thing? Are you?
I've sent a lot of plans, drawings, and loads of information to the council. Had the two in and fro in of that. Still waiting on an answer whether we can put permanent baskets in, like a temporary basket course that we've made here. But in the meantime, I know a couple of people who I've got kids. I'm pretty much into disc golf. They know I'm into it. And I always push it on them and say, you know, you need to get into involved in it. But yeah, I've gotten in with one of my friends, her son. I'm going to their school to do a Discover Disc Golf Day for every single class in the school. So we're going to be there for, I think, 2 to 3 days. So we're going to teach every kid what disc golf is, what a basket is, kind of how to just throw the basics of putting, and then let them, you know, run wild in the field for 10 minutes, just throwing whatever they can and however hard they can. But just to give
that's why you've got the 35 putters, isn't it?
That's it, mate. Yeah, the only reason I bought all these is mainly for things like that. I'm going to take them around, and it, you know, if kids want a disc at the end of the day, I'll just, you know, that dish out the ones I've got just to try and get them into it. Because at the end of the day, we need more people playing, and you know, kids are the future of it.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's really good. Really
I mean,
good.
I was going to invite Bowen to give me a hand, but I know he's not allowed near schools, so.
Yeah,
to nip that
anymore.
One in the bud, yeah.
Cheers for letting all our three listeners know that. So,
that's really good. Really good,
yeah,
Matt.
Too. Yeah,
hope that goes. Hope that goes well. Go on, Wardy. He's trying to crack a joke then at the expense of your employers.
Yeah,
I've not signed the contract.
Wind your neck in. Wind your neck in.
So, how about yourself then, Wardy? How long have you been playing? What sort of got you into playing disc golf?
To be honest, I don't think I've been playing much longer than Matt, really. I started when I was in Estonia, and mine was pure accident. We were bored. We found some stuff. We thought it was one of them rubbish bins. We just thought Estonians couldn't work out how to put their rubbish in it properly. we just started playing, and we worked it all out. A couple of Estonians started showing us, probably the biggest, hairiest Estonians I've ever met, cuddled us and decided to show us how to throw a forehand. But somehow, we got hooked from there, and I've not really looked back. I think we worked it out while we were at Croydon, I think it was. It was about a year and a couple of weeks now since I first met you guys, and
Yeah,
I've been playing tournaments ever since.
Yeah,
no, tested us for a year to get involved with us, basically.
I play the long game.
You met somebody fairly decent at disc golf when you was over in Estonia, didn't you?
Yeah, that was crazy. We were playing ahead, and we kind of got the wrong impression about a group of women disc golfers just ahead of us, and offered us a few tips or. And in our sort of jest, we didn't really pay attention to it. Turned out it was Bowen's favourite disc golfer. Decided to give us a few tips.
Kristen Tatar?
Yeah.
Nice.
Didn't have a clue who she was.
I can't remember if it was actually on the podcast or whether it was when we were talking after the interview. When we were talking to Chris Clemens, there was something similar that he said. He played his local course and he met a couple of guys and he's like, oh, can I jump on with you? And like he was playing around and he was like smashing discs like three times as far as they was and like parking shots and stuff. And like they were like, oh, you're really good at this. Like, you're really good.
Yeah.
And then, like, he went back, like, about 3-4 weeks later after they'd watched a bit of Jomez or whatever and seen him on coverage or something. And I'm like, why didn't you tell us you're a pro disc golfer? And it was like, it made us feel like we were really rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing. And it's like, you see somebody else and you think, oh, I reckon I'll be all right. I could, like, match go toe to toe with them. You see them throw and you're just like, oh no, they've just creamed
yes.
Like throw
how much
that,
funny is that
like,
though?
Three times as far as me.
I think the first time I played at Manchester, I was with Cam and Bella and Flo came, and it was they were like the nicest people I ever said hello to. Stood up, thought, you know, I've been playing this for a couple of months now, I'm all right, can throw fairly far. And then I think it was Bella stepped up first and out threw me by about 60 metres. Then Flo stepped up with a putter and out threw me by about 70 metres. And I was like, wow, I am terrible.
Yeah. But I feel like once you understand that there's all pretty much everybody, there's going to be somebody who can throw further than
you. Oh, yeah.
And like once you've got that out of your head, it's very unlikely you're going to be the person who can throw the furthest in the world. So once you've got that out of your head and you don't have to throw as far as everybody else and you start focusing on smarter shot selections, I feel like that's where your game sort of starts to improve. But excellent.
I'm still waiting for that point.
Yeah.
In MA3, though, it is fun to watch people throw far. Like, that's one thing I love about the cards is when, you know, none of us are that great. We can't continuously throw very good or very long shots. That's why we're in MA3.
Yeah.
And there was the perfect example is that Cameron Woodhouse, when we were playing Croydon. Have never seen anything like that. That kid, I mean, I thought I could throw far. He was throwing 40 to 50 metres past everybody. Every single
person.
He's only 18, isn't he? Blew my mind that he threw from the basket of 18 and he hit the building which serves food. And
no, he didn't.
He went straight over the fence, absolutely creamed
it. Honestly, it's miles.
There's about 50 people weren't there watching, just like, oh my God.
He's a future name to watch, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and he was a nice kid as well. Yeah. We had a good chat when we was on the card together, and he was a good lad. So I was going to ask you do quite a lot in the Army Disc Golf group, and I know you're on about getting a team together. Do you want to just tell us a bit more about that, Wardy?
Yeah, so again, that kind of started in Estonia. Searching through Facebook about disc golf and. I found a group. I think it had like 3 or 4 members at the time for Army Disc Golf. So I thought I'd join that. And that's where I met Gareth King, who essentially is chairman of the Army Disc Golf. It's a work in progress. So how it works in the Army, you have to have a sport that's approved before you're allowed to progress it any further. And at the moment, we're at the stage where we're almost in a probationary period. We still get a lot of whispers of, well, you're just throwing a dog toy. But we're slowly convincing people. We've gone from, I think there was like, say, 5 or 6 of us at one time. And we're easily sort of 20 to 30 members in the group now. There's at least 5 or 6 of us that regularly play together. So it's a work in progress, but we're getting there.
How hard is it to get, like, as we call them, the muggles involved? Because people just think, oh, you're stupid, it's childish and that. You give it a go, you fall in love with it, don't you?
Oh, 100%, yeah. And it's everything, isn't it? It's from the chain to the throw-in. It's so many different things of why we love it.
If only people would listen to us, like, give it a go, don't take the mick before you do it, like, because it is amazing. It's soul-destroying at the same time.
Yeah.
But it is amazing.
Once you throw that first shot, that you sort of get slightly better form and it goes quite a long way. It like flexes and you get a good distance on it. That's when you first think, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've said to you in the past, I think I've took like maybe 10, 12 people along to play disc golf, and I reckon at least 11 of them have said, oh, actually, it was really good. I enjoyed it and stuff. Like, it had really good like success rate of people trying it to liking it. But it's just getting the name out there, isn't it?
Exactly.
you'll like this one. So the other day, I won some tickets to a comedy event in Sheffield. So Friday night, you know, pretty busy night for comedy. So I took my girlfriend, a couple of friends along, and I'd come straight from work. And in my work bag, I had my work PC, but I also keep, as anyone who plays disc golf should, you know, a couple of discs in your bag, regardless of which bag it is. So we've got these tickets for the comedy night. We're entering 8 o'clock, sat down, and this guy puts us on the front row, front table. And my missus always takes the piss for me carrying frisbees around in my bag like a... She's like, why are you carrying frisbees? We're going to shopping. I'm like, you know, the opportunity may arise that I need to whip out a zone and showcase some skills here.
Emergency discs. So, emergency
exactly,
discs.
Exactly,
yeah.
So we were sat there, and within 5 to 10 minutes of the comedy starting, this guy's warming the room up, and he says, oh, does anyone do anything interesting? My girlfriend always loves throwing me in the bush. She goes, yeah, he plays frisbee. He plays professional frisbee. And I was like, for God, you know, literally going red, about to die. And this guy's like, do you really? Starts quizzing me and asks to see. She's like, I bet he's got a frisbee in his bag. made me pull out a frisbee in front of this whole comedy club. And he's trying to talk to me about frisbee. I was like, I'd love to tell you all everything about the disc golf, but I probably look like the biggest weirdo you've ever met here, carrying a frisbee around at 30-odd years old on a comedy night. Needless to say, everyone thought disc golf was hilarious by the end of it, and I'm hopeful that a couple might even join the Sheffield Facebook group. I think I did a good job.
Oh, good lad. Like that sounds like something I would do, but the other way around. I would do that to my missus. She would hate it.
I died
it.
Inside. As soon as she said it, I was just red as a beetroot, just like, someone kill me.
Funny. So, I asked Sammy last week, and I said I'm going to try and ask everybody in the team. You've got one disc, okay? Now, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about whether it needs to be for putting or long distance. You've just got to pick one disc as your favourite disc. So we're talking mould.
Oh, no, Wardy's already.
Oh, no, Wardy's. Everyone knows.
We do that. 100%.
So remember, Wardy, so you're saying your K1 Softberg.
Oh, 100%.
Or the
Oh, it can't be the Carlsberg, isn't it?
I think K3 is better than a K1 Softberg.
You're wrong.
I think K3 is better.
I think everybody who knows you knew that you was going to pick. You'd have picked a Berg.
I was going to throw an oddball out there, but no, I can't be true to myself.
And Matt, I'm pretty certain I can predict Matt's. It's just a flip of a coin.
One or two
discs. Yeah, there'll be two.
So
I throw.
What are you saying, Matt? One pick.
Zone.
Yeah. I think just because I'll throw it on 90% of my shots, and then the other 10% is the Raptor. So, yeah, zone,
so
definitely.
You,
get freaky.
So you said disc golf
crystal
zone.
Not the ESP. Okay. Not an ESP throw.
Interesting.
You've mentioned Voldemort twice in Duffy's eyes this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he hasn't said anything.
He hates him, doesn't he?
You say that, Bowen. I've brought a zone today.
Yeah, but not you haven't bought a
I wouldn't buy a BS one. That's why I haven't brought a zone in the past.
Is this going to be the new challenge? Just right, get freaky on all of Duffy's discs.
Oh, there we go. If he loses the next round, we get to write get freaky on all his insanities.
I like
you don't
that.
Touch
I like
your insanities. Yeah. So, excellent. Thanks for coming on, Matt. Thanks for coming on.
No problem, mate. Been
appreciate it. And hopefully, again, it gives people a bit more insight into some of the team members. We've probably got some discs coming out either the day of the podcast coming out or the day after.
Shall we announce who?
No, because I think it'll be out on the same day as the podcast. But it depends if I can pull my finger out. Another decent size drop of some pretty cool stuff. We haven't got any videos or anything coming out. So we will just see you next week. Same time, same place. You got anything else to say, Bowen?
Nah, nothing. I think we're done, mate.
Excellent. Wardy?
Nah, nothing for me, mate.
Matt?
No.
excellent. Right, so all that's left to say is remember to keep it in the chains.
KWITC.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
There we go. Another successful episode.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.